Ephesians, go to chapter 1, put a marker or something there of that nature, or the $100 bill you should have put in the offering, and then go to the 6th chapter, Ephesians chapter 1, and then go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 1, then to Ephesians chapter 6. I am just so honored, Pastor, that you would invite me back on the same day of daylight saving time, so let's change that next year. In fact, I have received a high honor. Can I talk about that, Pastor Deborah? I've received a high honor that I will be the guest speaker in 2010 at this church for the women's conference. So, that's going to be one tough assignment. But I'll start collecting material now. I'm a married man. She gives me material all the time. So, I'll start working on that right away. You know, there are many things in life I don't understand. I travel almost every day somewhere in the world. Last year in 2008, I was on 218 flights. So, you know, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. I mean, going through security for me is a lot of fun. Just look at me. All I need is a towel on my head, and you know, I just learned to go assume the position. I mean, do what you gotta do, you know. Just let me through. But I'm on an airplane almost every day. But I don't understand how those aluminum cans that you sit in, how they take off. We got friends here from South Africa, and did you fly the nonstop or did? You stop in Dakar, and how long of a flight is that?
18 hours.
I don't get that. In November, my family and I flew from Atlanta nonstop to India. 19 hours. You get to know your neighbors really good. Especially those who don't brush their teeth. And so, don't you hate when you go to church and they say, turn to your neighbor and say, and they haven't brushed their teeth, and they go, hallelujah. But I digress. So, I don't understand how those planes take off with everyone's luggage. And in some cases, on your flight from South Africa, there were hundreds of people on that flight and their luggage and their food and their all that goes along with that. And how that plane flies across and how it took off from wherever in South Africa it took off from and how it landed on this little strip that is no wider than these two center sections put together. I don't understand that. I don't understand how cell phones work. I don't understand how text messaging works. This morning, my wife texted me. She said, I'm praying for you. And she's in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm in San Bernardino. And I'm texting her, thank you so much. Have a good day. And then she tells me she loves me. I tell her I love her. And, you know, and these messages are flying back and forth across the country. She's on the East Coast. I'm the West Coast. How do words that you type in fly across the country and land in her box? Are you with me on that? I mean, how does somebody call you and you are on a highway driving 100 miles an hour and there's somebody else on the other side of the world driving on their highway, and somehow your signal beams up to 22 and a half miles up in the air to a satellite, beams back down, captures those little bitty tiny phones, you know, just like you got in your pocket, hopefully on silence, and then it captures that, and then as you're driving in different directions, it stays with you. I don't understand that. Some of you are looking at me right now saying, I don't understand him. Let me just tell you who I am. I'm your tech support. You know, you call to get some help and you say, oh no, I got me a foreigner. That's me. You know, all jobs are being outsourced to India. This morning's preaching has been outsourced as well. The Indian is here. It, In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul starts telling us where he is. Ephesians chapter 6, he tells us he's in a Roman prison. He is chained up there. He's in a dungeon. He writes the letter to the book of Ephesians, and he gets a friend whose name is Tychicus. And he says to his friend, I've written this letter for this church. Can you carry it for me? We pick it up in verse 20. Chapter 6, verse 20. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly, as I ought to speak. But that you also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. Verse 20 tells us, he says to us in verse 20, I am an ambassador in what? Bonds. Ambassador in bonds. Now, when I am an ambassador, that's an honored position, a position of great respect. That means my king or my president or the prime minister of my country saw some talents with me. He appreciates what I do. He has high honor and respect for me. He thinks I would be a good person to represent that country. So he gives me my ambassadorial credentials, and he sends me off through a ceremony, and I land in another country. When I'm in that country, I have a house called the consulate. I have an office called the embassy. It's a position of great high honor. I have political immunity. Whenever there's a state dinner or there's a great function, I get invited. I get preferred seating. I am an ambassador. I have great honor and great respect. But on the other hand, someone who's in bonds, somebody who's in prison, has no respect, has no honor, has no political immunity, is tied up, is chained up, has no other recourse. Somebody tells him where to go, what to do. His hands are in shackles, his feet are in stocks, he's behind bars. On one side, he's an ambassador, great respect, great honor. On the other hand, he is in bonds with no respect, with no honor. But Paul wants us to understand a great mystery over here. He wants us to know that where I am is not who I am. Because who I am is greater than where I am. Once you get that in your spirit, you got to start understanding that where is only a where place. Let me say that again for you so you can get in your spirit. Where I am is not because who I am is greater than. That was good rehearsal. Let's try it again for real now. Everyone together. One, two, three. Where I am is not because who I am is greater than where I am. Because see, where I am is just a transitory place. It's just a transitional place. You are just passing through. And I know that where is different for different people. But I'm here to tell you that where is just a transitional place. You know, everybody's got a favorite text in the Bible. Well, you know, people have different things. For me, can I tell you my favorite text? My favorite text is, and it came to pass. Whatever happening in your life right now, the good news is this is not where you stay. The good news is, and it came to pass. Because where I am is not who I am. Because who I am is greater than where. You might be where. Your where might be a jobless place, but that is not who you are. Your prayer where might be a situation where your house might be in jeopardy, but that's not who you are. Where you are, you might be going through some financial stresses in your life, but that's not who you are. You are his son. You are his daughter. He's your daddy. He's your Abba. He's your father. Because where I am is not who I am. Because who I am is greater than where I am. And in the midst of that, he takes us to the first chapter, Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, he is praying for the Ephesian church. In fact, he writes down his prayer for the Ephesian church. He writes down his prayer for the Ephesian church, begins verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of his glory and of his inheritance in the saints. Verse 19 is my text. For what is the exceeding greatness of his power? To us word, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I want to talk to you quickly about the three powers. The first one is the power of the local church. The power of the local church. I'm coming out to tell you that there's nothing more powerful when you understand where your home is, where your church is, where God has planted you. You know, everybody's looking for the perfect church. As soon as you find a perfect church, don't go there. Because as soon as you go there, it won't be perfect no more. Someone said this way, the church of Jesus Christ is like Noah's ark. It might be stinking, but the best thing afloat. And what is happening in our society, what's happening in our day, is there are people on the media and people who are writing books about the demise of the church. I come by to declare to you that the church is alive. The church is well. The church is strong. The church is powerful. The church is anointed. The church is going somewhere. The church is making a difference in our world. There's something powerful about the local church. There's nothing wrong with you supporting other ministries, other TV ministries, other radio ministries, but it had better be out of your overflow, because your tithes and your offerings belong in the house. I don't eat at McDonald's and pay at Burger King. My responsibility is to the house. The place that I have been planted. Jesus planted this church over 2,000 years ago. And I'm here to tell you, does not matter which country you go to today, there are franchises of the church of Jesus Christ on every country, on every continent. They are all doing well. They're alive. They're thriving. They are growing. The church of Jesus Christ owns more real estate than any other corporation in the world. I'm here to tell you, you are a part of a magnificent, beautiful, gorgeous church of Jesus Christ. It might be stinking, but still the best thing afloat. I want to press my point about making sure that your resources find their way to your home church. I just really appreciated what Pastor Cobray had to say. And he doesn't say this morning. I heard you say that yesterday and the day before as well. When offering was received, he said, if you are a guest here, your offerings and your tithes need to belong to the church that you're from if you want to give out of your overflow. When I used to pastor a church in Michigan years ago in the early 80s, before the Lord delivered me and set me free. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my burden down. I was visiting a gentleman from our church in his home, probably the richest guy in our little town of 3,500 people, and owned all kinds of real estate and everything. And as I was visiting with him, he started telling me about how much money he sends to that TV ministry and that radio ministry and that Bible teacher. But I knew what he was giving us. He was giving us $5 every Sunday. A few months later, I got a call about 3 o'clock in the morning from the hospital saying so-and-so is just been rushed here with a massive heart attack. And their family tells us that you are their pastor. So the $5 preacher got out of the $5 bed, put on his $5 pants, brushed his $5 teeth, started driving his $5 car. And I pull up in the parking lot, go up the elevator, and going down the hallway, and there he is, all hooked up, tubes coming in and out and everything. And He gives me his bony little hand. I hold on to his hand. There's a voice on this shoulder saying, don't go there. There's a voice on this shoulder saying, go for it. Don't go there. Go for it. Don't go there. This voice, don't go there, is dull and boring. Just no fun. Go for it. I said, yeah, I'll go for it. So I said to him, took his name. I said, so when is so-and-so? And I gave the name of the where his money was going across the country. Going to come and see you. He said, oh, I don't even think they know that I'm here. I said, oh, yeah, it's only 3 o'clock in the morning. As soon as they find out in the morning, they're going to be here. Oh, I don't think so, Brother Sam. I don't think that's going to happen. Because, see, that's the truth. The truth is, when Rick had his wreck, there may be people praying out there, but the people who were visiting him, the people holding him up, the people who were on their knees over here praying as soon as they can, hundreds of people, were not somebody out there. It was this house in this place that were holding him up. And so I want to tell you that the church is powerful because you understand the power of the church. The second thing I want you to understand this morning is the power of presence. The power of presence. Wherever you go, you take Jesus with you. I'm a kingdom carrier. Because Paul reminds us, I might be in prison, but I'm still an ambassador. Let me see if you remember, if your memory is good enough. Because this is what I know. Where I am is not. Because it's greater than. He's saying, I know I'm in prison because his mind is going back 12 years ago, 1,200 miles away in a prison called Philippi, where him and Silas were locked up. And at midnight hour, they just began to sing praises to the Lord. And that's where the jailhouse rock took place. That's where everything was open for them to come out because he understood the power of presence. I'm here to tell you, in the times that we are living in, if there was ever a time that us believers needed to have power of presence, it is now. If there was ever a time for us to shine brighter, it is now. Because see, if you are an unbeliever and I'm a believer, and you lose your job and I lose my job, and I act just like you, something is wrong with that picture. Because if I lose my job, I got to remember the words of David who said to me, I was young, but now I am old. But I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. I want you to know, I might not be driving what I'm driving, might not live in the house I live in, but there's always going to be bread in my house because that's not my promise, that is his promise. It's not because I am good, because he is good. Paul picks up the same theme and he says to us, for my God shall supply all. How many?
All.
My God shall supply
all.
Can I tell you what all means in the Greek? All means all, and that's all that all means. Can I tell you what it means in Hebrew? All means all, and that's all that all means. We say, my God shall supply
all.
According to?
Yes.
I'm so glad that it is not according to Wall Street. Not according to my bank. Not according to FDIC. You know, we used to have a 401k. Now we just got the K. And the arm on the K is kind of doing this number as well. But you see, the presence allows me to know that wherever I am in life, I am still an ambassador. You can lock me up, you can take all I got from me, but what you can't take away from me is who I am. Think about this way. A pot of boiling water, steaming, bubbling, steaming, boiling water. You put a carrot in it. The carrot goes in hard and comes out how? Soft. You put an egg in it. It goes in soft and comes out hard. The carrot went in hard and came out soft. The egg went in soft and came out hard. On the other hand, there's a little tea bag, little flimsy piece of paper with a few grains of tea in it, with a 4-inch string attached to it, with a little cardboard at the other end. And the tea bag looks at the boiling pot of water and says, "Mr. Boiling Water, I know you're big, bad, and ugly. I can see the steam from way off. I can hear the bubbles, and I can see the boiling. But when I get in the boiling water, Mr. Water, you need to understand, you will never be the same again. I will change you forever. I will change the way you look. I will change your texture. I will change your chemistry. I will change your taste. You will never go back to being just plain old vanilla water again, because I have been there. I don't know about you, but when I grow up, I just want to be a
tea bag.
Because you see, the carrot went in how? Hard. And came out. The egg went in and came out. But when the tea bag went in there, everything changed about it. Wherever you go, when you go into your school, something ought to change over there. When you go into the store, something ought to change over there. Whenever you get out of church and go to a restaurant and somebody's having a bad day, you need to not join them but say, "I'm going to make a difference in their life." Because our plan is to be a power of presence. Power of presence. I just want to be a... But then there's a... Hey, listen, if you are a guest, first-time visitor, please come back next Sunday. I'm just a substitute teacher. And you know, when a sub shows up, nothing really happens. So come back. There's a great word in the house. So don't let me discourage you from coming back. The third thing I want to talk to you about is the power in the name of Jesus. Power in the name of Jesus. Power in the name of
Jesus.
Because at the name of Jesus, demons tremble. At the name of Jesus, sicknesses leave. At the name of Jesus, Rick, who was not supposed to live, is alive and well in this place. At the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, doors open that were closed. Jobs are created where they're downsizing. At the name of Jesus, things change and things happen. When I was 4 years of age, growing up in a Pentecostal pastor's home in India, I ate some infected cookies and got sick, very sick. By the time they took me to the doctors, my left side was paralyzed, my eye was squint. And the doctor diagnosed me as having diphtheria. Diphtheria, you all had inoculation shots for that. We didn't have that in India. And diphtheria is fatal. So they said, "Take him home. He's going to die." 4 years of age, brought me home. I had not stood up on my feet for over 2 months. Could not retain anything on my stomach for over 2 months. And they laid me in bed. I was going to die. But one day my dad picked me up. And brought me to the living room and sat in his chair. He had prayed for me many, many times. But how many of you know, you can pray a lot of times, but then there is that day. There is that day. For some of you, today is that day. And then he went and sat in his chair. You know, every daddy's got a chair. The one with the big greasy spot in the... And he prayed for me. There I was laying, and after he prayed for me, I looked up at him and said, "Papa, can I stand up now?" He said, "If you want to." And I did. I looked at him and said, "Papa, can I walk now?" He said, "If you want to." I walked out of there into the kitchen where Mama was cooking, and she almost had a cardiac arrest. I'm here to tell you about the power in the name of Jesus. I'm not telling you somebody else's story. I'm telling you I'm a poster child of what God has done. Is there anybody in here who says, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. I know because I've experienced his power in my life. So my closing 2 minutes. I want to tell you a little bit about Jesus. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No barrier can hinder him from pouring out his blessings. He forgives and he forgets. He creates and he cleanses. He restores and he rebuilds. He helps and he heals. He reconciles and he redeems. He comforts and he carries. He lifts and he loves. He's the God of the second chance, the fat chance, the slim chance, and when there is no chance. He discharges the debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. He beautifies the meek. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of joy. He's the foundation of faith. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway to peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the gateway to glory. He's the highway to happiness. Who is this Jesus? He saves the hopeless. He shields the helpless. He sustains the homeless. He gives purpose to the aimless. He gives reason to our meaninglessness. He gives fulfillment to our emptiness. Can I just have one more minute and tell you about who is this Jesus? He guards the young. He finds the lost. He guides the faithful. He rights the wrong. He avenges the abused. He defends the meek. He comforts the oppressed. He welcomes the prodigal. He heals the sick. He cleanses the dirty. He beautifies the meek. He restores the failure. He mends the broken. He blesses the poor. He fills the empty. He clothes the naked. He satisfies the hungry. He elevates the humble. He forgives the sinner. And he raises the dead. Just a little bit more about this Jesus. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. He's indestructible. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's inescapable. He's invincible. He's irresistible. He's irrefutable. Just 30 more seconds about this Jesus. He's a lion and he's a lamb. He's a God and he is man. He's a seven-way king. He's the king of the Jews, the king of Israel, the king of righteousness, the king of the ages, the king of heaven, the king of glory. He's the king of kings and the Lord of Lords. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally gracious. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. He's the greatest phenomena that ever crossed the horizon of the globe. He is God's son. He's the sinner savior. Just 5 more seconds about this Jesus. He's the captive's ransom. He's the breath of life. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled and he's unprecedented. He's undisputed and he's undefiled. He's unsurpassed and he's unshakable. He's the lofty idea of philosophy. He's the highest personality in psychology. He's the supreme subject in literature. He's the fundamental doctrine of theology. He's the cornerstone, the capstone, the stumbling stone of all religion. He is the miracle of all ages. I come by to tell you about Jesus. About Jesus. About Jesus. About Jesus. I come by to tell you, he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Savior of all mankind. He is who he is. He's in this room. He's right here. And his name is? He's my Savior. And his name is? He's my Redeemer. His name is? He's my Provider. And his name is? Somebody ought to know, I know who Jesus is. I know who Jesus is. I know who Jesus is. I know who Jesus is.